back to the show. You're hanging out with me, Fadio Baker.
And KJ the One.
And our show is called It's Whatever. Welcome back to the show, guys. We're so glad that you've tuned in for another hot topic discussion out here on our podcast. Remember that these are the places that you guys can find us and follow us on.
You can find us on any social media network. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, at Fadio Baker. The updated spelling is in the graphic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm on point.
On top of it.
And at KG the One.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk about something that we didn't put on the program. But first...
Yeah, yeah. Okay, wait. Let's get the business out of it, right? Yes. We are so thankful to our show's sponsor, the company that made our branding and our graphics possible, is a company called TaylorMade Designs. For all your graphic design and content creation, you can contact them at hello@taylormadedesigns.co.za. They do graphic design, they do web design, they can do a cover for your book, they can do design for your t-shirts. If you're an artist, they can do the branding, all of that stuff. You can find them at the address that I just mentioned. You can find them on Instagram, or you can on Instagram you can find them at the TaylorMade Designs. You can contact them there. And Cage is going to hit you with the promo offer that we have.
If you use the code whatever, you get 30% off. If you returning client, you get 5% off.
Yeah, so if you've already used their services and you go back to them, they'll able, if you use the code whatever, they'll give you 5% off. They're having a real cool special at the moment. I always wonder, I'm like, you know what, like, you, if you're an up-and-coming business, your company,
yes,
somebody has a special going, use it.
I mean, it's only logical.
So I don't know if you forgot what you just wanted to say.
No, I didn't. I naturally would.
Because the thing is, like, normally when you keep quiet like this, I'm like, is this guy thinking about the next thing or what's happening?
Yeah, so dude, the change in your name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I always knew your name was spelled that way.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to ask you why you spelled it the other way.
So, when I was in school,
yes,
and because my school was predominantly Indian, Muslim Indian,
yeah,
I think that my name was not very common. I think there's only one other person that I knew of that had the same name as mine.
That's so cool.
But at the same time, when I left school and I started working, going to class, whatever, I found that people found it very difficult to spell my name. Yeah. I mean, to, yeah, both spell my name and pronounce my name, especially like if you saw it on a piece of paper and now you've got to read that name out.
How do you pronounce it?
Fadio.
Lies.
It is. It's the same. The only thing is, the reason why I spelled it that way is because I wrote it down the way I wanted people to say it. You see, you get what I mean? And so, because of a project that I was working on a month ago, whatever it was, I obviously had to, well, I didn't have to, because we could use our call names for this project.
But
I kind of just figured, I was like, you know what, first of all, like, it's not my problem if you can't pronounce my name, you know? And second of all, I just felt like, there's just a couple of things I'm like, that's not genuine. Like, I feel like that's just my thing now. I'm like, that's not genuine.
Man, I like
You know, that. Like, I'm looking at my Instagram and I'm looking at my name. I'm like, but that's not your name.
That's good, bruh. Man, I support that, dog.
You know what I mean?
I really do, man.
So, besides my wokeness recently.
Yeah, but the thing is, now, like, you can't go to America because now Trump knows you're Muslim.
Listen,
well, no, you're not Muslim, but that, like, it's derived.
Listen, first of all, Trump... Okay. Yeah. We're not gonna jump onto this thing so early. But the other issue that I had was, I've had my Facebook maybe like for 70 years, right?
Yes.
And I was like, it's time to just start again.
Well, I never
like
get that.
I you know what, like, my biggest, like, the one thing I loved about my face, like, Instagram I've come and gone, Twitter I've come and gone. Mm. But my Facebook, I just wanted to start again. But the issue was, I was like, I've got so many, never mind, like, status updates I don't really worry about, but so much photo content that's, like, documented almost, like, 15 or 10 years of my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I shut this thing down, all of this stuff goes.
Yeah.
Until I found out that if you want to like start again, or if you want to close your Facebook account, yeah. there's an option where you can download all your information. They actually download photos, videos, even your status updates. Everything can be downloaded onto a file. Now, obviously, depending on how long you've had your account for, it's going to take a longer. Like, I think mine was just over a gig.
Dang it.
And I didn't really trust it because I'm like, you're going to fetch all my photos, all my video. I like really didn't. But then I did it. And everything is also in folders.
Yeah.
So, you know, like if on Facebook something was in memories or something was in a folder you just named 2011 or you named Cape Town, whatever, it downloads in those exact folders. So it's not like just all your stuff everywhere. So I was happy about that. But here's the problem now. So I try to start another profile with the spelling of my name. Yes. Well, actually, I want to start it, right? And I create the account, I start adding, and also I just felt like there were so many people on my old Facebook.
I brought you a celebrity.
That was so irrelevant. I mean, like, first of all.
Wow!
Listen. I feel like this isn't Twitter where we just follow each other. I feel like, or Instagram, I feel like Facebook is like a request thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you're starting out, you're just like any flippant person who jumps on there, you're like, accept. But I had reached, first of all, I'd reached the quota.
As I said, celebrity.
And second of all, like, there was just a ridiculous amount of people who were following me. And sometimes I'd look at, you know how many people would contact me and be like, who's this person who I keep on getting recommended because they're friends with? Yeah. So basically, like, because say you have six friends, I have seven, right?
Mm.
They keep on recommending my seven friends to you because we're friends. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's just getting annoying. I feel like that thing got so big that I just needed to start again.
Mm.
But here's the issue now. So I recreate my profile. Obviously, with the same profile picture, just a different spelling of my name.
Then you have 565,600,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, What?
Yeah, and then Facebook not only blocks me, but disables the account that I had created.
Why?
Because it's under their impersonation. So they think I'm impersonating someone. Dude, I know, which I understood. But I'm like, listen, this is so stupid because... I understand someone can steal my phone number. They can steal my email or whatever it is. But then they have this verification process where you can... You click on it and then they kind of take a video of you. And then they like turn to your left, turn to your right. Mm. I think it's like video facial recognition, whatever it is.
Is it you
or is someone trying to use your account? Yeah. So I do that. 2 days later, I'm still disabled off this thing.
Yeah.
Then they're like, no, if you send your ID and something,
your proof of address,
you know, that kind of thing, whatever.
Credit card with the three numbers at the back.
Yeah. So I'm like, listen, first of all, I am not about to do this. I understand the verification, but it's me. But now, every time I log on to Facebook, so when you disable your account, like when you can disable it for good, there's a 30-day period where you get to change your mind. So if you log into your account, it will undo the disabling thing. Obviously, they don't want to lose
people,
whatever. So today I tried it. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe the issue was that I used my cell phone number because it was registered. Maybe if I use my email, that can be a genuine form of identification. And so I jump on there. I use my email. Now they're asking me, am I sure that I want to re-enable my account? And I'm just like, you know what? Disable, I'll try again. So there's about 19 days left.
Oh, wow.
The thing I don't understand is, why am I fighting so hard? Because I'm not a Facebook
person. Because Facebook is the OG of social media networks. You don't understand. Facebook is not just Facebook. Like, you use Facebook to log into other websites and stuff. The convenience of that.
Like what?
I do. Like, even my Instagram. I don't know my password for Instagram. I don't know my password for Twitter. I don't know my passwords for half of the things I have.
But isn't that why we keep the same energy with passwords and just make it one thing?
That's very dangerous.
You know, I know, but the thing with my social media is like, that's what the issue is. I had a different one for my Twitter, I had a different one for my Instagram, a different one. And then like a couple of years go by, Because now, like, our phones just log in. Like, I mean, it's not like when it first came out, you had to constantly type in your password or whatever. Like, especially if you've got an iPhone, like,
yeah,
my iPhone, it's either, like, fingerprint or, like, my Instagram just opens.
Yeah, but like, also other things, though.
Okay, look what
you don't log in with Twitter. That's dumb. Google.
Yeah, like the thing with my Google. Yeah, the thing with my Google is I find it more convenient to be signed in.
Yeah.
I like for some reason I just find that it's better for me to be signed in on my Google, especially if I go from Google to YouTube or whatever. I just find like it's better. That it's better that way. And talking about those things, whatever. As you can see at the bottom of my computer, that Chrome sign is open.
Yes.
And although I've been fighting Chrome like for the last.
Wow.
I don't know.
I tried to get it closed.
No. Oh,
okay.
As in, I'm using it now.
Oh wow.
Because remember, I was like, listen, Safari's there. I'm using Safari on my Mac.
Chrome is the ish, bro.
I understand until it started letting me down.
What, Safari?
No.
Chrome.
Safari. Sorry, Safari.
But Safari is still also dope.
Mine just would, I don't know if I need to update, but it just won't open YouTube.
What? Yeah, that's weird.
It's just annoying. Yeah. Like the page, it can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Except like on YouTube, it will hang. It will go to the results for YouTube.
Yeah.
I'll click on YouTube. I'll go onto it and then it just hangs there for like.
I'll take a look at it.
No, it's fine. I've made peace with Chrome. I'm finding Chrome. I'm getting used to Chrome's functionality. I almost feel like I'm starting to use an Android phone. That's what it feels like to me. It's not as bad.
It's different. It's different. I understand people who prefer Chrome, but I prefer Safari though. Oh no, Windows.
Yeah.
It's not a question.
Yeah.
It's definitely Chrome. Like it's not a question. You can't use anything else.
I think, and that's the thing as well. I feel like on my Mac, the functionality of Chrome because I'm always looking for something that's right in front of me but it's not there.
Yeah.
Just because of the way Mac
it integrates so seamlessly.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
why I like this. The way like you were browsing a website, you throw your phone on the bed and then you just go onto your computer's already there. Like that is amazing.
Yeah.
Like Chrome, like no matter what, even if you had an Android device, that would not happen.
Listen, I feel like the way like the functionality now for me, not only like to quickly, I mean, listen, because I edit so many of my own videos.
Yeah.
You won't believe like the annoyance of shooting a video on your phone.
Yeah.
And then, listen, I don't like the, on my phone, I don't like the functionality of iMovie. Is it iMovie? But listen, so then I rather do it on my Mac.
I'll
shoot it on my phone.
Yeah.
Now I'll have to upload it onto my Mac, so I have to airdrop it or something onto it.
Let me rather say
I used to upload it to like a thing like Dropbox
or
Google Drive or something. And then down on my computer.
Let me see where you're going with that, because
yeah, and then now I'm just like with, I said the word like with AirDrop.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so much fun. It's literally like sending things, like how we used to send things via Bluetooth.
Can I tell you something that's even more easier?
Yeah.
You know, with iCloud, every video you take,
immediately
you open the photos that
are there. I like that's the thing. Like I cannot use a device that's gonna give me upload download drama.
Yeah, like for me, like what I loved about like video editing, especially my hikes and stuff.
Yeah,
is that I'll take a video of a hike. Immediately, I get to my room. Like I don't do anything. My phone is somewhere else.
Yeah,
I just open my photos app.
What did you think of the new option for dark? Are you on dark mode?
I do the automatic thing.
Okay.
So like so when the sun sets, it like goes to dark mode
automatically. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I was always like, you know, on Twitter, like I always felt like dark Twitter was like where all the trashiness happens. So I was never like a fan until like the update came. I was like, you know what? Like I need a new look on this.
Yeah. And I think it looks nice. As for sometimes I feel like I prefer it more than the light.
Yeah. So we were talking about, like, here's the thing. I had so many things to say, but maybe you lead on the Nicki Minaj thing, because
I don't know. Like I actually haven't haven't read much about it. All I know is that Nicki Minaj was incredibly angry at Wendy Williams because she was trashing her husband, which is justifiable because Wendy Williams' husband isn't like the best person. But like...
Well, the thing... Okay, I actually did watch that Wendy Williams clip.
Yeah.
I saw the place where she was trashing and I put it in quotes, unquote, because for me, when you trash someone, I feel like you're either hyping up the truth to the place where it's not the truth anymore, or you're just down-talking someone on their good stuff. Like, for example, if I'm like, I pick your shirt, and I'm like, yeah, that shirt doesn't suit you. Yeah. That's whatever. It's none of my business. Mm. But I felt like Wendy Williams was just laying out. Like, first of all, the thing that got me is that this gent's surname is Petty.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
You know that?
That's
so
cool, though.
I felt like now what everyone was saying, that Nicki Minaj is petty... Now she's really petty.
Ah, Nicki petty.
you know what I mean? And so the thing that Wendy Williams was saying was, I mean, this guy, I think he went to jail for beating a woman?
Oh, wow.
He's a sex offender.
Hey.
You know what I mean? Like, all Wendy was saying was...
The best kind of man, It's sarcasm. It's sarcasm. It's sarcasm.
Okay, I was going to be like, we need to... No, I was like, we need to talk... Yeah, I was like, we need to talk about your preferences here. Listen... So,
my preference in men.
Yeah. We need to talk about your preference in men.
Yeah.
Because, like, going from dating, like, a godly girl to, like, all the way over to, like, oh, you're a sex offender, great. Those two things balance each other out. We have so much in common. But I think Wendy was just, she's laying out the facts.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, the way I feel about Nicki Minaj, I don't know if this is one of those things where I don't know if every online or, like, printed or whatever publication, they all come together and they're like, listen, we're going to make the world not like this one person.
You think so?
You know what? With Nicki Minaj, I felt like that. You know what? I've always been a Nicki fan, right? But you know the way people have been pushing out, she's petty, she's the, like, especially, like, remember The Breakfast Club? Mm. Like, you know, like Charlemagne's narrative, that kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
So the thing is, like, I always, when Charlemagne used to dog her out and they were like, you know, there's Cardi and there's Nicki and this and whatever. And then I started hearing it in the media so much is that now my taste for her has changed. So now, like, when I hear about her, I'm like, Nicki Minaj, oh, she's just petty. She's just bitter. She's like, and but I feel like it's nothing that she's done. I feel like it's just the narrative that these people have been feeding me the entire time. And now, like, she's done that. I mean, she hasn't released anything
solo
in a while.
You know what it is? When you're number one.
Yeah.
You have more haters than those people that it's the Apple and Android thing.
Yeah.
It's the Microsoft and Apple thing. It's PlayStation versus Xbox. When you're on top, like, everyone will find something to try to bring you down.
Try to bring you down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, like, big ups on her. I feel like getting married in Hollywood is kinda like becoming the trend.
Not convinced, man.
Hey?
Like, for me, getting married, when a celebrity says they got married, it's like maybe the relationship that me and my girlfriend have. They're just in a serious relationship.
Yeah.
Because if something happens, oh wow, I don't like the color of your shirt, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's that.
The thing for me, I always get a bit fidgety when it goes, you know, like, obviously, I mean, I don't even think I can begin to understand the degree to which that celebration would be. Like, if we blue-collared guys go so all out for our weddings.
Imagine them,
you know what I mean? But the thing for me is always, like, when they make that big of it. The reason why with Nicki, I was kind of like, oh, okay, was because I felt like she's one of those people that could have went
crazy.
Like, you know, like, 7 days before the 8th that she knew this guy, she could have been doing big, elaborate things and big... But, I mean, she just, like, it was apparently just, like, chilled, small, intimate. Like, I mean, she just came out and, like, ta-da, I'm married.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Jennifer Lawrence, for example, just had her wedding and, like,
I didn't know that.
Like, the... Are you disappointed?
Many, many hearts have been broken right now. Right now.
Yeah.
The 19 minute, 20 second mark. Many hearts have been broken.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, what else can you ask for in a girl? I mean, she survived all three of the Hunger Games.
Man.
I mean,
what
which,
a woman.
Which girl do you know has gone into the arena?
And which girl do you know can be any woman? Mystique.
Exactly.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I just felt like it wasn't it. But anyway, I just think that at least it's at least it's a healthy thing that's becoming popular and not an unhealthy thing.
I don't know. Yes, I agree, right? That marriage needs to be as normalizing and like there are many positives about marriage that like increases life expectancy, you're more economic, you can contribute to the economy in a more positive way and whatnot, right? But I also think that the way things are going, like the more and more people start getting divorced, it sort of like kind of also normalizes that also. So, like, what I would love is to push maybe, like, a Jada Smith and Will Smith thing. Like, Jada Smith? Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith.
Yeah,
thing,
well,
right?
I mean, same
like,
thing.
Like, those kind of relationships. I think those are the ones. And like celebrities need, like, a 10-year rule. Or maybe not even a 10-year, like, a 5-year rule. Like, if you last 5 years...
You don't think you're being a little too much with that? A 5-year
rule? Yeah,
a 5-year rule. No,
if you
God,
if you last 5 years as a celebrity...
No, I don't think so. You know why Will and Jada are so good? Because they have pushed through all the stuff that has happened in their lives.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I think like we look at Will and Jada now, we're like, we want Will and Jada. But we forget that Will has a kid that's like...
18.
Will has a kid from another marriage.
Yeah.
Will and Jada, all of those years, are they open? Are they closed? Are they, you know what I mean? Those kind of things, whatever. Will's career, Will's this, whatever, whatever. Is Jada just there for the money? Is it Jada? Like, the thing is, like, they've learned to push through those, like, work through those things in order to get where they are. I mean, Will's not a young man anymore. I mean, like...
But, and to be very honest, I think the reason for their success, I would think, is their secretiveness. I mean, well, not so much. But I still think they're fairly secretive.
I think there's a difference in their lifestyle. You see, what markets the Kardashians is that we get to see their lives.
Yeah.
I think with Will and Jada, we get to follow their lives.
Mm.
If that makes you understand. So you're following the activities of their lives. You're not following
don't know what's going on.
With the Kardashians, we know exactly which sister's fighting with who, who's promoting what, who's jealous of who, who's whatever, that kind of thing. But with Will and Jada, it's kind of like, okay, this thing is happening. Like, even with his... with his video, which for me, like, that's the one thing I go to on YouTube to make sure there's a new video. Like, his YouTube channel, I always go see what he's up to.
Oh, wow.
Because you need to subscribe
but
to
he's
that.
Amazing. I know he's amazing. He had Macros freaking Brownlee, bruh.
Listen, do you know who... I don't want to say who because I also don't know. But you know the team that he has shooting his videos and editing them and whatever? Like, that's like money you pay for a movie, bruh.
Well, Wilson's got money.
I know.
Did you hear the story about when Tiffany Haddish took them to a swamp? And
yes.
And Wilson was like, I gotta get me one of these.
Yeah.
A swamp. He wanted a swamp. Like,
swamp.
How rich are you?
Well, on his latest blog, him and Jada go over to Tyler Perry Studios.
Yeah.
Do you know that Tyler Perry Studios is one of the biggest studios in the world?
It's bigger than Warner Brothers.
It's bigger than Disneyland.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
And so there are 11 sound stages, and he's dedicated all of those 11 to like black actors and actresses or producers that have shaped.
Yeah.
So Will Smith, Oprah Winfrey, so all of those, the lady who directed When They See Us.
Yeah.
So all of, like, kind of those people fall into those category type of thing, whatever. So he did that. I just thought
How to get away with murder, lady has to be there, bruh.
Shonda Rhimes?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Even if he needs to extend or something, like,
if
I know she
needs to do.
She needs a special feature,
bruh.
That lady's too much, bruh.
Do you know that they even shot Black Panther at his studio?
Oh, wow.
Well, obviously not the whole movie,
but
they've shot some of Black Panther.
That is
dope.
I mean, come on.
Hey. Like, that's for the culture. Listen, something really interesting. I'm going to spend a lot of time of it, but...
Wait. I just want to see where you are. Okay. No, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. You can go ahead.
So, in exactly a year from now, people have already pulled out the threads. I've seen Bernie Sanders do it. My favorite Kamala Harris do it. They're in a year from now... Donald will be former president.
Oh, no,
Donald
no,
Trump.
No, no.
The thing for me is like I'm in such. Kamala for me is, listen, I would vote because she fits the type of profile of the type of president that America needs. I'm like going from one 70-year-old white man to another 70-year-old white man in Bernie Sanders. I'm like, come on, guys, we can definitely do better here.
I honestly feel like if Kamala is the person elected to people aren't gonna vote for her.
You know what I would like to see, even if they don't vote for her?
Yeah.
I would just like her to see her. Remember, by the time Hillary and Donald went head to head on that stage, Hillary was tired already. She had health issues. She's an older woman, whatever. The thing I'd like to do is Kamala just to kick Donald's ass all over that debate stage, because
when Donald
gets backed into a corner, he becomes insultive. He doesn't have logical rebuttal.
I mean, like,
you know what I mean? He doesn't have logical rebuttal.
Like, Donald Trump is a kid. Bro.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the reason why these US politicians age the way they do and the way they train, I mean, like, think about it. You'd think the election is next month, the way things are going, but it's still another year before the elections. We, like, literally the week before elections, the promises start coming out.
But you can imagine, like, how stressful it is for the president, because you have to be campaigning while you're the most powerful man in the world, dealing with the affairs of, like, China and trade wars and legislation and stuff. So you can imagine, like, I mean, for you to go 2 terms is a huge deal.
Because literally two terms is 4 and 4 years.
Yes.
The first 4 years, the first 2 you're president, the second 2 you're spent campaigning for the next 4 years.
Exactly. That's crazy. And like your stuff has to be on point. Like you can't be messing up the stuff. So like on the other hand, I've seen, thing is, my thing is, I'm not on one side, and like I very much like hearing both sides of the debate, and the way the left are talking, like the way the people are talking, it seems as if like the left is very divided.
Yeah, look, the thing, I'm just, whichever way that it goes, even if the Republicans are able to win another 4 years in that presidency, the thing for me is there's got to be a better candidate than Donald Trump.
No, that's
the thing. You know why? Like, you know why I can't? There are so many logical things that Republicans say, you understand, that defeat the arguments of so many Democrats. But the thing for me is that all of this logic, and then your foreman is Donald Trump.
I agree. You know what I mean? That is dumb.
It's the same way with the Democrats.
That's a good point.
It's the same way with the Democrats. You've got a strong black woman like Kamala Harris, but then you listen to her followers. It's the other way around now.
I hear what you're saying.
Let's leave that to the finale. I'm sure they'll make a good show out of it.
On the next topic, right? Yeah. So for me, bruh, I don't like idols. Like, okay. I can't bring myself. The only thing that I
you
love
don't
about
like
idols.
Idol. Sorry, like, you know, like, to pause here for a second. Okay, yeah. My bad. You're saying you don't like idols.
I don't like idols. Like, for me, like, the only thing that's good about idols is Wooden Mike.
You don't like idol in general, like world idol or South African idol.
It doesn't interest me.
Okay.
The reason being, I don't know what constitutes a good singer.
Okay,
like,
gotcha.
For me, like, what constitutes a good singer is if I go listen to your music. For instance, we have a mutual friend who sucks at singing. Right? But his music is good.
Wait.
It's enjoyable, bruh.
Sucks at singing, but his music is enjoyable.
You know who I'm talking about. Our dancer friend.
Okay, I have to disagree 100% with you, because not only does his singing suck, his music sucks as well.
I disagree with that.
I'd rather say that we have a friend whose singing is on point, but his music only recently has started catching my attention.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, but so the problem is, I'm not about to name drop, because the other person you're talking about, his music sucks as well.
Okay, fine.
You need to go. Listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to post a poll, right?
No, we're going to
put both of their music.
No,
we're going to see.
Okay, you see exactly. This is the very reason I don't like idols.
Yeah.
Because I understand that my taste in music is not exactly how you put it.
Yeah.
And you are actually correct.
Okay.
Right? And that has been proven twice.
Okay.
what you're saying has been proven twice, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, just for people, just because I'm being a bit too cryptic. So he went to Idols twice and he got like really hammered twice. But I enjoy his music, right?
The thing is, the reason he was on Idols was not because there was a possibility of him moving on. The pre-producing, before you get into that audition room, if you come there and do something funny, they're going to tap you on the back and say, you need to get into that room. So, like, if you're doing something whack, why do you think those kids stand before Randall and Onati and Sumizi and they, like, and they sing their line, and you're like, what the hell is this person? The thing is, the producers put those people on, and they've pushed this guy to that point, and he's like, if I can just make it past, you're never going to make it past that round.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Like, this is not even like a Shekinah situation where your music's good, but you couldn't make it on the show. Not even, like, listen,
my guy, do you even imagine him in the top 10? Like,
no.
Like,
I don't even imagine him in the top 10,000.
Exactly, right? But like, so, I don't, that's why I don't like Idols.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that's enjoyable for me is when people flop. Because that's it, right?
I get it. So, Idol would not be Idol without... The thing, it gets boring after the...
Wouldn't mind.
That's why there's a gap.
I can't watch it.
That's why there's a gap between... You see the live auditions and Theatre Week.
Yeah.
I believe that there's probably a gap between the live audition and then Theatre Week and then what happens on the live shows.
Yeah.
There's a big top 10. Or I'd even say top 5. You know what I mean? Like, for them to come down to the top 5, that's when people... It's almost like the Rugby World Cup that we just had.
Yeah, I agree with you, right? But I can tell you more of people who've done wooden mics than the people who have won.
Yeah.
That's how much I don't know about Idols.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, now, when this new show comes on, Rhythm and Flow on Netflix, I'm thinking, it's a rap song. Like, you know, hip-hop is my first love. I listen to everything.
Yeah.
Everything. But hip-hop, I keep saying, hip-hop is my first love, right? I'm like, is this another hip-hop, like, Idols? Oh, this is going to be whack. But just for the culture, you know, because I'm a fan, I'm just going to watch one episode.
Yeah.
Oh, my flipping crap. Oh, my goodness.
You made it past the first episode?
It was amazing.
Okay.
Like, I'm supposed to be doing work
or
going to work.
Yeah.
I'm watching Rhythm and Flow, bro.
Yeah. So Rhythm and Flow is probably one of the first shows to debut where they, on Netflix platform, that they're only releasing episodes once a week.
Periodically, which is good.
Yeah. No. I've got to disagree there. And the reason is because the reason we're not on paid TV is so that we don't have to wait for a series to come out every... I understand you release a season and then we wait time for more episodes or whatever. But the thing with Rhythm and Flow, I kind of felt like they staggered it out so that they could keep us, or to make sure that nobody, on the day that it released, that nobody watches the show now and knows who the winner is now. That's what the difficult thing about having a show on that platform is.
Yeah, well, for me, I actually like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, because I have a very busy week.
Yeah. Right?
So I can't watch the entire
thing. You can't watch the whole thing, right?
And also for me, like, that anticipation, where they're like, the next person to leave is, and then they cut.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I actually enjoyed that. And I feel like I wish that more Netflix shows, not all of them, follow that same approach.
Yeah.
For me, like, that anticipation makes it more rewarding when you watch it again.
So the thing for me, first of all, like, Rhythm and Flow, like, biggest fan, I don't think, like, there's a bigger fan, right, than what I am.
No, I don't.
You want to challenge me? Here's the thing, right? Worries, you know, when I first saw, I thought, the thing where most reality shows miss it is they forget that there are three characters, even though it's a reality show.
Yeah.
It's the judges, must be a character.
Yeah.
That's why South African Idol is doing as well, because we've got Somizi Onati.
Somizi is amazing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. He's a character on the show, you understand? So, I mean, Cardi B, T.I. Chance the Rapper.
Dude!
Brilliant. You know what I mean?
Who else do you need?
Like casting, brilliant there. Then the second thing is, it's the show itself, the platform, what happens.
Yeah.
So what's the net? Like, stupid things mustn't happen. Like, we eliminate you and then we eliminate four other people for no reason.
Mm.
There must be reason behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the contestants have got to be people that we either super like or people that we super dislike.
Yeah.
And those things checked off my boxes 100%.
I hit a big mouth bowl, bro.
Oh my God.
She irritated me, bro. And she went so far.
I feel like because you said a woman, I'm not going to say a woman as well. It's just going to sound like we're just talking.
I'll say
her. But listen, I had to really push through the initial auditions.
I love them, bro.
Like, I couldn't. Like, I
love them.
I was bored.
I love them, bro.
I was so bored. The time that, you know, when I started getting, I was like, now I'm into it.
Yeah.
Was when they brought all of them together.
Yeah.
And then, like, the cyphers started.
The cyphers? Was like, no, the battles.
Yeah, and then after the cyphers, unfair. The battles.
See, like, I have a lot of issues there, bro.
Yeah.
Old man Saxon.
So, you know what I think they've done? You know what I think they've done? This is my, you know, every reality show has conspiracy theories behind them.
I also have a conspiracy theory.
My conspiracy theory is there were certain contestants, they didn't want to go home. So they had to pair them up with the least likely.
Yes.
Because look how unfair was Flawless Real Talk
with
going up that chick. That was completely unfair. Right?
He smacked the mother out of
dude me. I mean, like, that, like,
she was good.
But listen, the problem is that, listen, the people who were in, okay, I won't say the top five because I felt like the girls could have came out more because we've got people like Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, Remy Ma, Eve. That's kind of where the bar is. And when the guys rap, we always like, are you as good as? Will you ever be as good as? Whereas with the girls, I kind of feel like we can't hold back our punches and be like, we can't compare her to Nicki Minaj. We can't compare her to whatever. Listen, D-Smoke.
Exactly.
How many times would we be like, there were times we were like, listen, we've got a Kendrick already. We've got a J. Cole already. So he had to.
Yeah. You know that exactly what you're saying, right? That's why I disagree when people are saying, why are we trying to pit rappers together when we comparing female rappers? I'm like, we do that with Biggie and Pac.
Yeah.
We do that with Jay-Z and Eminem.
Listen, the thing is also, listen, it was a competition they had to go up against. I just felt like there were a few times where I felt like these guys, it's kind of like, listen, these ones are good.
Yeah.
And we're not sure, like, listen, as someone who's got a production mind, when I'm watching that show, I can already see the top 10. I'm like, if these six instead of these four go through, we're going to have a really hard time carrying this show with the story. Because the thing about a show that has so many contestants that starts out like Idols, you've really got to filter the guys who've got stories, the guys who've got interesting lives. The guys, think about those, like the five of them, or what the final was, four of them, right? Think about the four of them. Each one of them had family situations.
Except D-Smoke.
But think about even D-Smoke's at home. He grew up, his mom's this church-going woman, taught him how to play the piano. They're Spanish. His dad went to jail. There are stories behind that.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The problem with why they needed to let Sam Be Yourself go home was because
was
the
good,
only... Listen, he was also one of my favorites.
He was too good, bro.
But the only narrative that his character in the show had was that he was white. And that would only play out so far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then...
No, but I loved him.
The unfair thing, like, is to go up against D-Smoke and Flawless Real Talk. Like, Troy Mann was good. But you see the way they were eliminated? That was exactly... Except I wanted Flawless to win.
Can I be very honest with you? I don't think Troy Mann was that good.
I think that where they, you see the thing in the initial stages, they don't have the grooming agents that he had at the finale.
Yeah.
Because if you see his performance at the finale, that was not the Troy man we saw.
He was
as good as Ali Tominique and all of those other cats, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But by the time those producers and those talent agents got him onto the stage with the top four, now he's a superstar.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? But the way that they eliminated them, the only difficult thing for me was, listen, I felt like that guy, Flawless, the mistake that he made was doing an emotional song. I am the biggest flaw, but when D-Smoke came out,
okay, let's address that, right?
Yeah.
I was like, there is no competition here.
Yeah.
Everyone is fighting for second place.
Yes.
Flawless is the winner. Like, for me, I was like, it's Flawless, and now
we're fighting for second place.
It's not even close to being close, right? The issue that I had is that D-Smoke had a really good last round.
Yes.
That was like, that wasn't even a home run.
Yeah.
Like, He hit like freaking 5 balls out of... Listen, like,
he hit that ball from year to J. Cole, bro. Like,
he smashed that.
When we came to the finale, everybody knew. After the performance with Jai Naiko.
Yeah. My guy!
I mean, like, after that, before, everyone was like coming into this finale, whatever. But the problem was, D-Smoke gave an undeniably, like, it was like...
Dude, and thing is, like, even Jai Naiko said that I felt nervous performing with this guy. So that entire thing. My thing is, I think Flawless was the most consistent. And also, I understand why he may have not won. Because he's the one, I think he's the one with the most connections. I mean, he wasn't a BET cypher.
Yeah, you know what? The one thing that I don't like about shows where they're scouting for talent is, and I also found out about D-Smoke only at the end of it, is that D-Smoke's mum had toured. Now, I'm not saying that this is his fault or to shine negative on him, but she toured with some big names and had an opportunity to tour with some big names.
Yeah.
And he had also worked with some big names.
Yeah.
So the problem, like, how much raw talent or how much unknown are we discovering
if it's already,
you know what I mean? Like, say for example, like, I mean, if you take someone like Alito Monique, who didn't really make it that far, like he was kind of, I think it was top 10 or something between there. If you think about a guy like him and you think about Flawless was hitting these things. He was
on the come up already.
So, I mean, what are you Ali is someone who's like, this guy is an unknown artist. Whereas Flawless, I mean, if you looked at his Instagram was popping already from way back because this guy already knew.
Yeah.
Whatever. However, like, D-Smoke, listen, man, not only is that EP that he released fire, I feel like that song, The Last Supper, is just dope. I listen to D-Smoke's music almost every day.
To be very honest, like, I kind of like that On My Way song. That gets me pumped, bruh.
Yeah, I get it.
There's one line he has there where he says, doesn't match where I'm becoming, but I'm on my way.
Yeah.
But that emotion.
Yeah, I get it.
My God.
I get it. The guy was good, man. The guy was good.
But the one guy I really wish when went through was Old Man Saxon. I think if they didn't pay him with D-Smoke at the Cypher, you know, the guy with the suit.
I know exactly who he is.
I think if they didn't pay him, like, I think that guy would have been amazing.
That was one of the things that I said. That was one of the places I found, like, how are we going to get this guy out without it seeming unfair?
Yeah.
Even with that Latino chick, how are we going to get her out without putting out... The problem with me with Old Man Saxon is like, that guy's on the old, but when I look at the top four, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I look at top four, I'm like... Here's the problem with Old Man Saxon. He was not going to fit because he was going to be outside, which is who he is, and it's okay.
And to be very honest, that's why I would have... Yes, I agree with you. And from a production standpoint, I understand what you're saying. Like, I understand all of that. But for me, as a viewer, that is the exact reason why I would have wanted him there. I mean, in the battle, like, he didn't go for his head off. He was, like, chilled and was so relaxed, but it was so cool. Like, for me, I would have loved to see... Okay, now what are you going to do? Like, what is your music video going to look like?
Listen, so, I mean, you, like, I probably know about Cyphers because of you.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. While I was watching these things, what I thought to myself.
Yeah.
If I ever find myself in the unfortunate position that I have to do a Cypher, I am not going second. Because depending on who I'm going up against, my confidence would be so broken. If I first tell you, then you tell me and you're better, I'll accept it because I had. But the thing is, if you go first and you just smoke me, it doesn't matter how good I am or how many good things I have to say to you.
Yeah.
I'm this type of person. I'm like, okay, fine. I don't want to fight. I'll just be like, listen, I don't fight anymore. Like, you can just have it. Because there were some of those I was sitting there, like, I felt... Especially like with Flawless's one. Like,
yeah, Beans. Flawless, Beans, I mean, like, Beans was amazing.
Especially when someone is not insultive. Like, some of them were like, you know what I didn't like about Big Mouth?
Yeah.
Big Mouth.
When she did that.
The thing I didn't like was she wasn't trying to get into her opponent's head with her lyrical content. And that's what I believe a cypher's about. She was trying to be a clown. Like, and I understand it's like there's no gloves here. Like, we're going, it's a street fight. But the thing for me is, I felt like that was a real kitty move.
Yeah, but thing is, dude, but like you watch battles, people don't battle. People cheat in battles. Yes, they have like extra bars, or they do this, or they rap a cappella when they're not supposed to. Fine. Yeah. But no one acts like a clown. Like, that's not a battle situation.
Yeah, I also... Like, and the thing is, I also, like, you lose so much... Like, I just lost respect. Like, I really I didn't like her persona.
Yeah.
But the thing is, for me, the one that I had to... Like, that's why I downloaded the soundtrack. You know, they have the four of them in each of their songs. And the reason I downloaded, even though I didn't like the chick... I forget her name, the one with the Dalmatian...
London B.
B.
I think she was cool. She was... Fine.
Yeah, because I had to remind, and this is something you told me, you were like, if you're watching a show and you don't like someone so much, they're doing a good job at what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the thing is, even with her music, like, I think by the time she did that last performance, even I was like, this was a save girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, her performances were not great.
And then she forgot
her lyrics and whatever. And I'm like, she's like the pity vote. Like, I felt like we're like, you know what? Like,
she gets female.
Yeah, she gets she gets the beauty privilege. Like, it's like, you know what? Just because we like you and whatever, we're going to just push you over.
I think they should have put Beans in a position. I would have swapped her with Beans.
Yeah, I don't know.
Humble opinion.
Yeah, I'm also like, you know what? It was a street competition, but at the end of the day, I think they're also looking... for a superstar that they can put on any stage.
D-Smoke, they can.
You know what I mean?
D-Smoke.
Listen, D-Smoke, they're going to put him anywhere, bro. They're gonna put him from, like, down the road Cypher to, like, the BET stage to, like, MTV Music. They'll put him anywhere.
Did you understand the whole Inglewood thing with Snoop Dogg?
No, like, I know...
I actually researched it.
Yeah.
Because Inglewood are Bloods. Yes, Inglewood. You know, like there's the rivalry gang in LA between the Crips and the Bloods.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Inglewood is predominantly Bloods.
Okay.
And Snoop is a Crip.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
So when he's asking where are you from,
yeah.
he says Inglewood.
Yeah.
He's saying you're my rival gang.
Oh, so that's what he meant when he was like, he's lucky he didn't change his answer.
Yeah. So then he's like, are you sure you're gonna answer
that?
Like that. Where are you from?
Yeah.
So like to try to get him to switch.
I get you.
Yeah.
I get you.
I thought that was cool for him to say, like, I'm from here.
Listen, there's so many cool things happening on Netflix. Like, right now, one of my favorite series that I'm watching right now is something I've been waiting for. It's produced by Michael B. Jordan.
I'm only saying that because many girls like him, bro. Like, I just feel
I mean,
he's talented, I know, but it's just like,
Oh my God. Anyway, it's produced by Michael G. Jordan. The reason I was is because obviously for the culture for Wakanda and he's doing something else. It's called Raising Dion.
No, I haven't seen that.
Well, it used to be a comic and now they've made the series about it, but it's done really well. It's got a lot of Stranger Things vibes.
Oh, wow.
In it, but this little boy, like, he discovers he's got power.
Oh, well, like that small kid's thing.
Yeah.
Man, I wanted to
you
watch
need
that.
A, you need to oh, jump man. On it. So, Netflix has a lot of cool things. The only place that Netflix has been letting me down is with their cooking reality shows and the actual show. Like,
you know what
can't.
Else I hate about Netflix?
Yeah.
Netflix shows never seldomly have good endings. I hate that.
Dude.
They never satisfying.
Never. Anyway, let's... maybe talk about, I don't know, should I say more serious?
No.
Less serious, whatever. So this article came across, you know, it's always, like, I feel like CNN's always got, like, the tea that kind of gets people, like, pushes people in the wrong, whatever. So Always Ultra is the brand of a sanitary pad, for those of you who aren't familiar or don't know. But anyway, Always Ultra released... they released a statement, CNN reported on it, but the story goes like this, right? So Always says it's removing the Venus symbol. Do you know what the Venus symbol is?
It's Serena Williams' sister.
Okay. Let me talk to those of you who are listening, because this guy, obviously. So the Venus symbol is obviously the genetic symbol used for female?
Yeah.
Okay, the genetic symbol used for female. Which was historically used to represent the female sex. I think because those things are obviously going to change, right?
Yeah.
Okay. From the packaging of its menstruation products to be inclusive of transgender and non-binary customers after transgender activists and allies began speaking out, arguing that not all people who menstruate are women and that not all women menstruate. This is the latest in a series of actions companies and governments taking to affirm the identities of transgender people as transgender activism surges, right? So,
yeah,
these were my questions, right?
I have a lot, but I don't know if we're going to have time.
So this was the question, or I don't know, should I say question? Okay, let me start out with my ignorant thinking first. Or let me not say ignorant, because this is the way we grew up,
yes,
right? And this is the way that it was portrayed. Always Ultra has always been a feminine hygiene product,
yes,
right? Most recently, I think the reason we became more aware of the product was because it's like, why the heck are condoms free and
pads
are not?
But you get female condoms, which are free.
No, I get it. But if you think about the priority here, you understand?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm like,
yeah,
if you think about the priority. So
I agree.
So I can already see they're bored of men sitting around and being like, we'll give them condoms, but they have to pay for
same. I agree with that.
So the first question that came to, I was like, wait, are we really going to fight over a product that is for women to take off the female sign from there, right?
I agree with that.
Until I started listening. Now, listen, sometimes I feel like, you know, I was talking to someone and they were like, the reason they don't like policies in church is because sometimes we measure people by policies and don't measure them by conversations.
Mm.
You understand? So, for example, if the policy says no red, right?
Mm.
Then if the moment you're red, we just kick you out.
Mm.
Instead of listening to you and walking a road with you and why is it red and how that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the thing for me is that when I started listening is that immediately we can argue this thing and be like, it's a female product. These are for females. They shouldn't take the symbol off the packaging. It should always be the same because it's always been.
Yeah.
Until I started listening to the reasoning, which doesn't change my view on binary, non-binary, male, female, that kind of thing. But I did change my conversation around this point, which was that what they're actually fighting for is when they say, because I'm like, which man is complaining about this? Like for example, like, I don't use these things, but am I offended? I'm going to go to a supermarket and I'm going to see the female symbol on these pads and be like, I'm offended because why am I not being included?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until I started realizing that what they were saying is,
I declined.
Yeah, you just declined.
Shh, babe, I'm so sorry. Let me just send a message. Yes, you are saying?
Guys, I apologize once again. KG is answering his phone during a podcast recording.
Yes. No, talk. I can hear you.
Okay, I'll just talk to the people who are listening.
I'm listening.
Until I realized that what the argument was that, I guess it's females who are transitioning to males.
Yeah.
Who probably, listen, I don't know like what exactly is happening during the surgeries and that kind of thing, but I'm talking about, so everything's kind of still the same, but you're kind of, maybe you started taking some hormone tablets, maybe you're dressing differently, maybe you have, but you're still menstruating.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you identify as a male, your body is still working as a female.
Yeah.
And when you buy this thing, you're kind of like, why is this a female product when I'm a male?
Wait, so you're a trans man, right? You're a trans man.
Wait.
You're assigned female at birth now, but you feel like a man.
But you feel like a man. And you start dressing like one, identifying like one, living like one. But this product says it's for females. You understand?
Yeah, I get it. I get it, right? My thing with that... Whew, there's a lot there. There's a lot... Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to start.
Look, my thing is, I didn't want to get into the... Because I don't feel like it's my place at all. Especially this early in society. But here's my thing. This is what my thing is. Is that... Sometimes I feel like we can be so petty on the products, is that we miss the people who are using these products.
I get it.
You get what I mean?
I get it. Yeah. For me, I'm like, number one, who cares? Like, fine, get rid of it. I'm fine with that. Number two, I'm like your arguments are inconsistent.
I'm not going to say who cares, because I feel like we're almost negating their feeling.
Okay, my thing is, I don't care. So fine, you can do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's that thing where, like, for instance, at Cape Town, they wanted to rename the Jameson Hall to Maracana Hall. So I was like, no. Why would you take something, like, I understand that this is associated with apartheid or whatever. Yeah. Why don't we rename it to something that is enduring to African people?
Yeah, that is, yeah.
And they're like, no, it's a whatever, whatever. That's not the issue. The issue is that we need to rename it. And I'm like, fine, if you're arguing for the renaming of it, then why don't you make us name it instead of calling Maracana?
I got you.
So, like, if it's a big issue, right, and you don't have a big care about it, then let us who care make the decisions.
You were saying that the conversations aren't consistent.
So for me, my thing is the conversations are consistent. Because now, they all say there's a difference between sex and gender, right?
Yeah.
Sex is what you are assigned at birth. Gender is what you identify as. Right.
Okay.
So my sex is male, right?
Okay.
Because I was born with a penis, but now I feel like a woman, so I am a woman.
Yeah.
Right. My thing is that, like, now if I use your sex to refer to you, right, to say that this is a male, you get offended because that is implying that you're not a woman.
Yeah.
Right. So now with that paradigm, right?
Yeah.
So now, even if your sex is male,
yeah,
I have to refer to you as female.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So now you were a man at birth.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a woman at birth.
Yeah.
You get, but you feel like a man.
Yeah.
So technically speaking, even if you feel like you need to use this product,
yeah,
you don't identify as female.
Yeah. Okay, I got you.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, I got you.
Or
I just, with the whole argument of someone being of, like, I do understand the trauma probably that you're going through, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In fighting for this thing that you want, you know what I mean? But at the same time, is it not an age? I'm not comparing struggles here at all, you know what I mean? But has offense not always come with, like, for example, me calling you a feminine name, you know that you're a man, so we call you, are you a kitty? Or calling a woman who's maybe a bit muscular, calling her
butch.
Calling a woman butch. Has that offense not always been? I'm not saying that we've always had it. Why are you complaining? What I'm saying is that the offense, I do understand in the term where if you identify with one gender, it's almost been a societal diss if someone calls you something else.
Yeah.
So from that point, I understand. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But is removing the sign from the labeling going to break those stereotypes or prevent you from using the product?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Like, for me, I don't know.
Okay, wait. This is the last thing that I say. Like, I feel like this is such a complex thing, but here's the last thing that I will say, right? If you are a transgendered, and just help me because I might get it wrong.
No, it's cool.
So if you're transgendered female,
so that you're to man, male. Okay, so that you're trans.
You're trans man, right?
Yeah.
So you're going from female to male.
Yeah.
Okay, and then in the stage that you're at,
yes,
right, you're still menstruating.
Yes.
Right. Does that not mean that there's still a part of your body, or there's still an attachment to the female
side, yes,
and that's why you need to use a female product in order to
maybe that's why because they don't want to see, because you're not necessarily using a female product, it's a male I get it.
You know what I mean
that,
so that, because that piece of you is still female.
Yeah,
it's almost like if you are a if you're a man becoming a woman, you still need to shave. I understand that there's female raises and that kind of thing, but I feel like there's some products that are specifically made for male-type facial hair or...
Oh, but, like, thing is, these hormones, they do it naturally, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, some trans men, they fed the hormones to the point where she grew sperm. I don't know if that is true or what, but I heard that that.
Yeah, listen, I'm not Dr. Phil. I'm not going to sit here and claim that I have the answers to society's things. I'm still of the same opinion that we can sit down and talk about your story. That's the thing. Because sometimes we talk about these things in retrospect. Listen, there could be a young... Yes, I need to get my head around. There could be a young man who needs to use this product and really feels embarrassed going to the store to having to buy this thing for himself now because he identifies as a man. He doesn't want to buy this product because it's a female thing.
Hashtag fragile masculinity. I never got that. Your girlfriend...
Okay, you don't mean in this situation, right?
No, I mean in this situation. Because you're a man, right? So you're masculine, right?
Okay, I'm not going to get involved.
No, in I'm being serious.
Like, I'm not going to get involved in that argument.
Let me just make my point.
Okay.
I find it weird when guys say that they won't go buy pads for their women.
I don't understand. I'm talking about in this person's specific. You know what I mean? You're still adjusting to society accepting you as a man.
No, but my thing is, if you look like a man and you're going to purchase this, there's no one's thinking that you're buying this for yourself.
Okay.
So for me, if you are so like scared of touching this thing, whether you're trans man or you're a man, that's fragile masculinity. We can't say it's fragile for just men who are born as males. If you are doing the exact same thing and you're trans man,
I think I'm gonna be a little bit more sensitive to it. I'm not gonna comment on.
That's my thing, bro. Like, if we keep dancing around this thing, right? No one gets answers. But if we go for it, and like someone comes to me and says, KG, actually you're wrong. This is what it is.
Yeah.
Right? Then I have to be like, okay, fine. It's either I'm going to be homophobic.
Yeah.
And if they have valid points, right? It's either I'm going to be homophobic and not listen to you, or transphobic in this case, or I'm going to take what you're going to say.
Yeah. Look, the thing for me was that I just found it interesting. Like, and you know, this is not the first time I brought up where a product's making changes or something that's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people without teeth are fighting that. Why is Colgate advertising only with people who have teeth? I find the only reason I've brought this thing up was because I am so interested in how society is changing.
Can I also bring up one more thing now, Ethan?
Yeah.
We also need to acknowledge that people who are homosexual and who are trans are the vast minority. It's not a normal thing. Like, I'm not normal, sorry. I don't mean it in the sense that like you are abnormal. No, what I mean is that it's not the majority. It's like maybe like 5% of the population. You know how I know this? Anele and the Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Right?
They do this thing called What's Your Status?
Yeah.
And the way they try guessing your name, your gender, like, well, they use the word gender. They don't use the word sex.
Yeah.
They use the word gender.
Yeah.
Which is already, I'm like, cringing over the radio, right? Then they say, your line of work or whatever. Immediately they say female, and they hear a high-pitched voice or a female voice.
Yeah.
They assume that they're correct.
Yeah.
So, like, my thing is, and this has gone, in my head I was like, I wonder how many times they're going to do this until someone actually corrects them with a deep voice saying, actually, I'm a man.
Yeah.
Right? It has never happened.
Yeah.
So for me, that tells me that, like, it's not like the majority. Because people usually say that you can't assume someone's gender.
Okay, I'm gonna have to take a little while and think about this because I almost feel like we like F.W. de Klerk and whoever the other white presidents were thinking like, they not everyone's black, and it's such a small percentage of. So like, thing is, I don't wanna say that they're a small percentage, and this what like I need to think about what you're saying a little bit because
Let me make my argument so people don't get misunderstood.
Yeah, because it's coming off to be like, why is this a big deal, girl? Not even
That's not what I'm saying. You see, that's exactly why I say.
I'm saying, let me try to think about this instead of just answering.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let me make my full argument so that people don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Yeah. What I'm saying is that you assuming someone's gender is not problematic.
Yeah.
What is problematic is after I assume your gender and say that you are male, and then you correct me and say, actually, I feel like a female, and then you still impose that like you're a male. I think that's more problematic. Yeah. Because chances are 99% of the time you'll be correct.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I think it's difficult. Look, the one thing also where we need to be understanding as a society is for example, like if you come to me, like the way you look right now, and I say to you, good morning, sir. And then you just go off at me like, you mother, like what the, do you think, what, whatever, because I'm actually whatever, whatever. There I kind of feel like I'm like, okay, hold up. You understand?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not stereotyping here.
Yes.
I'm not whatever. You get what I mean?
Yes.
Because society, we haven't changed. We're still changing. You understand? Until these nouns and pronouns become where we can say good morning person or good morning human or good morning. Like, I feel like if I do say good morning, sir, you could possibly politely just say to me, I would prefer if you were to call me good morning, ma'am. I'd call you that, Katie. Like, I'd be sensitive to your feelings if you would want me to call good morning.
That's exactly
to you.
What I'm saying. So, like, what you're saying is that as long as, like, you're respectful in that way, even Ben Shapiro, bruh.
Yeah.
Ben Shapiro, who's done saying that you can't force me to call you a male if you're a female. He's on that tip. But he says, if I'm engaging in conversation, you prefer to be called she.
Yeah.
Like, I'll call you she.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, right? When you reach the point of arrogance where somebody asks you, I'm not even saying politely or whatever. If you get to the place where somebody asks you to address them by a pronoun, that's right?
Yeah.
Pronoun. By a pronoun that they prefer, and you are just adamant that you will not do that and you will continue being disrespectful, that's exactly what I find it's disrespectful.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Like, and that's why, like, listen, Mr. Shapiro, no matter how many accolades or whatever it is that you have achieved and whatever you've done, you lose my respect in that regard to be like, well, if I see a penis, I will call you whatever, because I feel like that's a level of ignorance.
I don't know, man.
It just doesn't, like, listen, what does it take away from you?
It doesn't take away anything from him, right?
Yeah.
But my thing is also like, man, I listen to both sides. I don't agree with him.
Yeah.
I don't agree with him. But wisdom is the ability to understand someone's point of view, even though you don't agree.
Yeah, listen,
that's what wisdom is.
I understand his point of view.
So I wouldn't say he's ignorant because he has an educated and informed decision. I just disagree with that, right? What he is saying is that in the guise of freedom, of tolerance and free speech, you're telling me I should be tolerant of you based on what you believe, but you're not tolerant of me based on what I believe. And therefore, to go against this, I am doing this.
Yeah, listen, then I'll flip it on the other side as well and be like, listen, if you know that an institution doesn't support your lifestyle, you can't take your flag and your miniskirt and during a service, you know, to go and be disrespectful there.
Yeah.
That's where I flip to the other side. I hold both sides accountable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when will we get to the place in society, I'm like, I don't have to agree with everything that you believe in, and you don't have to agree with everything I believe in. And you are allowed to speak what you believe in,
that's
and I'm allowed to speak what I believe
that's
in.
That's not our kinds of conscience.
But I don't, like, I really don't.
Yeah. But even with Ben Shapiro, what you say, he's a liberal. He says that he doesn't care. Like, so gay marriage, doesn't oppose it.
Yeah.
Like, the transphobia, he doesn't oppose it.
Yeah.
He's a liberal. He just says, don't force me now.
Yeah.
Don't impose that on me.
Yeah.
That's all he's saying.
Yeah.
Which, that's why I say
I always
get where
feel,
he's coming
listen,
from.
I always feel so weirded out by people who are like that. Because I'm like, I understand that it's not where you're at, but you're almost fighting against this thing like you're scared of something.
I don't know. He doesn't strike me as that person.
I'm like, listen, man, like, what are you afraid of?
What do you mean?
Like, what is he afraid of? Is he afraid that his son might come out like that? Is he afraid that his wife might come out? Is he afraid that he might come? Did something happen to him?
Yeah.
Was someone inappropriate? Does he have a bad experience? Because you can genuinely be, you know what? You can be as good as Joel Osteen and be hated like Joel Osteen for just being like, you know what?
But my thing
you
is,
you do what you need to do, I'll do what I
is,
need to
isn't that the same thing that people do when they say to someone who's gay or whatever, did you get molested as a kid? Like, isn't that like the same thing?
Yeah, I just feel like when you're fighting it like that, I'm like...
No, like, dude, I agree with Ben Shapiro on a lot of things in terms of, like, free speech. Like, you're like, with free speech rhetoric, I'm on that
yeah.
right. Because I hate the fact that, like, I can't say certain things because I may lose my job. Because that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm not discriminating against you. I'm not exercising prejudice against you. I'm not inciting violence against
yeah.
you. This is just what I believe.
Yeah.
So, like, just leave me alone.
I think that when it comes to your work, unless you're the boss, I kind of feel like whatever the company, and that's kind of where you put yourself in. If you're employed by these people, your free speech... quote unquote, because your speech becomes their speech.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So in that instance, I understand. But if you're just voicing your public opinion, the thing with me is like, especially on social media, if someone's saying something that I don't like and it's more than once, I just stop following them.
Done.
You know what I mean? There are people who I definitely keep on
yeah.
because they have such radically opposed views that I have
yeah.
and I need to check myself.
You know who I follow?
Yeah.
Richard Dawkins.
Okay, I have no idea who that is.
Richard Dawkins is a militant atheist. He
yeah.
believes that Christianity is the worst thing to plague the earth, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, naturally, I shouldn't be following someone like that who
yeah.
tells people to, like, incite violence against Christians.
Yeah.
But you know why I follow him?
Mm-hmm.
Because the way he views life, the way he understands, and the way... he's consistent in his beliefs.
I got you.
Which is something I admire.
Yeah.
So, like, for I'm just like, bruh, whatever you believe that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not allowed to impose anything on you. You're not allowed to impose anything on me.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we pause before we move on to our next
thingy
thing? Okay. So, yeah. So, whatever that is, like... I really don't believe that the answer is going to be over in one conversation about all of those issues.
Mm.
And I feel like sometimes it's going to take years.
Mm.
I hope it doesn't take years
yeah.
for those things, I won't say solve themselves, but kind of to find a balance,
yeah.
you know.
But my thing is, we never find that balance if we can't talk about it.
Yeah.
So.
The thing that always catches me off guard, and like I won't even, like I think the best answers you get is when we're talking like this.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like sometimes I find like there's things I need to process. Like sometimes I read an article like 3 times over to make sure that I understand what
exactly.
questions I'm being asked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, especially on social media, you miss the question. Like there isn't a direct question that's being asked.
Yeah.
But someone poses like if you say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right?
Yeah.
That's your statement.
Mm.
But there's questions being asked from that. So are you
yeah.
saying that Muhammad's not the way, the truth, and the life? Are
yes.
you saying Buddha's not the way, the
yes.
truth? And instead of thinking about the question you're being asked, I immediately shoot off and be like,
yeah.
So you believe that we're the leaders of ISIS, or you believe that, you know what I mean? Like we
yeah.
jump to those extremes
yeah.
and all of those other things come up. But yeah, let's move on. So do you want to lead us in the next one? We're talking about cop forgiveness.
Oh yeah. So there was this interesting thing that happened a couple of weeks ago. Amber, whatever her name is.
Rose?
Is it Amber Rose? No.
Okay.
I'm
like,
in my head, master pro process, who's Amber Rose?
Okay.
So she was a lady who was a cop. She late at night apparently went to someone, a random guy's house, shot the person, dead.
Wow.
Her defense was she thought it was her apartment. She found someone else in there and then she shot the person dead, right? My thing is, number one, like, the places are locked, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah? And then, number two, so, like, what had happened now is that she's going on trial for murder.
Yeah.
The first thing that outraged people is that you got 10 years for murder.
Yeah.
5 years for parole, right?
Okay.
Number two, I don't think people are as mad at this as the other thing I'm going to say and what I just said. The brother of the person who got killed said that according to his Christian convictions, he doesn't believe that He should be wishing ill will on her. So he's decided to forgive her, and even in court asked the judge to hug this person. Right?
Okay.
So the judge granted that, and then
yeah.
That. Number three thing that happened is that the judge herself, after the proceeding, gave her a hug and gave her a Bible. That's where the contention is.
Yeah.
Number three and number one, right? Now, the question is, according to Christianity, is that consistent with our beliefs? If someone kills your brother or whatever, is that, like, or the way the judge reacted, do you think that that is warranted? And also, the other thing that also, like, pissed people, many people off is that after the proceeding, right, obviously there was a lot of crying in the court because, I mean, forgiveness and stuff,
yeah.
And a lot of tension around that. She appealed the decision, meaning that she doesn't believe that 10 years is justifiable.
Yeah.
That it should be less.
Yeah.
So clearly...
There's
no remorse there.
Yeah.
And people are saying that it's this trend where black people always are forced to forgive people. And I've seen this a lot where black people are saying the reason why they're not Christians is because white people have historically used scripture to oppress them. Slaves, obey your masters.
Yeah.
Forgiveness after slavery and all of that.
Let me jump in on the last thing that you're saying before I forget. But here's the thing for me is that, first of all, forgiveness is laughable. And that's why forgiveness and grace in the Bible, it's one of those laughable concepts, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, the disciples asked Jesus, they're like, how many times? You know what I mean? And the answer is laughable to that. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, but the thing, we move from the same way, we move from what is a sin to what is the sin.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, we'll put up with smokers, we'll put up with alcoholics, we'll put up with gambling, but don't be homosexual.
Oh yeah,
you know, because there's
and
I'm not putting those things in one category, but I'm saying of degrees of allowance in church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so the same thing with this is like, how far do we go? Like, if someone kills my mom, someone kills my sister, am I supposed to forgive them?
Mm.
Here's the thing: I haven't been in that situation,
mm.
and I don't want to be in that situation.
Yeah.
But in the situations that I have been, where I'm like, this person cannot hurt me any more than this. I've had to forgive for my own sanity, for my own peace. You know what I mean? And so harboring, like if you get divorced or someone breaks up with you or someone steals something or someone takes or your friend does something, whatever, you release yourself. You don't release. The reason people don't like to forgive is because they think they're releasing the other person.
Yeah.
So which means that if you kill one of my family members and I forgive you, I've released you.
Mm.
No, you've released yourself.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You've released yourself from doing that. The thing about the notion that so us black folk have got to forgive again because this is the way the white men... Let me tell you, there's that argument. My argument is that the levels of faith that I have seen among black folk is to be envied.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Like,
amen.
Like, for example, like if you think about principles like prayer, if you think about fasting, if you think about dedication, if you think about tithing, if you think about giving, you want to tell me that something a white man told us is being the generation, it's being expressed without an example. You know what I mean? The black community that I grew up going to church in, it's not something that I saw my friend giving, my friend praying, my friend. It's because they are fathers and they are fathers' fathers taught those boys how to pray, taught those boys how to give, taught those boys how to. So the thing for me is that people always look and be, you know why? Because maybe it's not that a white man told us about you. Maybe it's the fact that we have values like forgiveness.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Where we look like fools. Why it's always got to be the black man to forgive? Because that's one of the foundations of our society.
Amen. Yeah, I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
So maybe, like, it's really sad that we've got to have this conversation around that circumstance.
Mm.
But for me, if we're sitting in that courtroom, whatever, listen, I think that, I mean, even in South Africa, I think it's messed up that if someone comes into my home and threatens my family and I can't protect them because I risk going to jail. You know what I mean? If someone is raping a family member and I shoot that person and they die, I will go to jail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just feel like that's kind of where the... Like, the moment you're in my home, you know what I mean? So that whole thing is messed up. But, like, my thing is that the conversation is around forgiveness. The conversation is around why it always got to be the... I'm telling you, it's because people of color have always... Listen, maybe... And this is going to be a very controversial thing that I'm going to say, is that maybe... One thing that slavery has taught us, or maybe being impoverished has taught us, is a greater reliance on God, that someone who has never been enslaved, has never been poor, has never needed to rely on God that much. And so now that we've come out on the other side of society where our people are not enslaved, our people are not impoverished, our people are not, now we see our faith as a weakness.
And it's not.
You know what I mean?
And it's, yeah.
Whereas that's why, like, you know, I don't say I do understand, but now I kind of understand the scripture that says it will be easier for a poor man
to enter
here. You know what I mean? Because I feel like there's certain... I'm not saying that you have to struggle in order to have faith in God, but I'm saying that there's no prayer like a struggle prayer.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? And when I say that, I'm talking about life happens to everyone. Rich, poor, black, white, Indian, whatever you are. But I'm talking about when you got to pray for someone who's sick, a family member, when you got to pray for a job, you got to believe God for something, whatever. If you've just had a life where, like, it's kind of everything's just given and it's easy, whatever, why that reliance?
And for me, that makes sense why you don't even believe in a God.
You
because you don't, you haven't seen his hand.
And here's the other thing as well. And I believe that God wants us to have good lives. You know what I mean? Where there's no struggle. Almost sounds impossible, but here's the thing. Even in that, the depth of your prayer must now be birthed out. God, you've been so good to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The reason I pray as hard as I do is because I know how good. Like, for example, if your parents are good to you, that's not a reason to not believe them anymore.
Yeah.
That's even more reason why you got to be like, these people are my kings and queens. You know what I mean? And when they're not so good to you, that should push you to, there can be more, there can be better.
Yeah.
You know, you can have as strong of an opinion as you want to. You can be as woke as you want to. It's just that for me, is that we can argue with the Bible, but only one of us are coming second place, and I've always found that it's me. You know what I mean? You can say you don't believe in this thing in the Bible. Yeah, but what about this thing in the end? Argue the points, whatever.
Yeah.
Only one person is coming second place, and I have never found the Bible to come
second place.
In that second place.
Dude, I mean, Matt Chandler says it so brilliantly. He loves it when the world catches up to the Bible, where they start doing these research stuff and they actually find out, oh, wait, flip, maybe if you do hit your children start behaving better, or it leads to success. Or like, where maybe marriage is a good thing. Like, so I agree with you, man.
Yeah.
And for me also, with on the note of forgiveness, is that, like, We forgive because, like, and I think it doesn't come from Christian folk. I think it comes from people who are outside of Christian realms. And it doesn't make sense. The Bible says that Christianity sounds like gibberish to those who are perishing. That's what the scriptures say. So, for us on the other side, we understand that we have grieved God even more. It's the parable of the guy who got forgiven of a debt of like $1 million and then goes to someone who owes him $10 and says, I want that.
Yeah.
Like, you killed my brother, but how many more words have I said to kill the dreams of other people?
Yeah.
Like I have done more egregious sins, and the message of the gospel is you coming to the cross and saying that I acknowledge and I see that I'm no better than the murderer.
I got you.
I'm no better than the person, homophobic person.
Yeah.
I'm no better than any of those people.
I got you.
So, like, I think that's where forgiveness comes in. And when you see yourself in that light, you realize that you need forgiveness and you're more empathetic to someone who's done something.
I got you. So, on that preaching tip, I kind of asked you this question on the last episode.
Yes.
Is Kanye West our new pastor?
I just
is Kanye Kanye the pastor of one of the biggest new church establishments that we've seen?
You know, I've been praying for you. I've been praying that it's real.
Listen, let me tell you something, hey. And I know you're a genuine guy.
Yeah.
But if I hear one more pastor, religious leader say that, those words that you've just said,
yeah,
I'm going to, from throwing up in my mouth, it's actually going to come out of my mouth. Because
why?
You know what I don't like, and what like just gets to me, yeah, is like, do you remember when Kanye did, and I understand people change and people have different opinions, whatever, but when Kanye did Yeezus,
yes,
Kanye was the Antichrist. Definitely. In our circle.
Definitely.
Kanye was the Antichrist,
no,
right?
No questions.
At that time, I didn't hear any of these MFers talking about how much they're praying for Kanye and God bless Kanye and inviting him to the church, whatever. Listen, that's what I'm saying. I know you. Yeah. I know you're a genuine guy. I'm talking about the vast, what I'm hearing on social media.
Kirk Franklin.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But here's the thing, is that now, like, it's easier.
Yeah.
It's easier to take credit for a sober person when they're sober.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Than to take credit for someone's sobriety
when
they're drunk. You know what I mean? So the thing for me, the reason why I cannot, like I just scroll past those things and not get engaged. I kind of got engaged with Lecrae and Kirk Franklin's thing, which was a once-off, but this because I was like, this is so boring. I was like,
I agree with
why
that,
don't you shoot a music video, you know?
I agree with what they were saying.
But here's the thing for me, is that I don't, like, I really can't. I understand, like, listen, I'm glad if any person finds their faith, I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just don't like that pretentious side of Hollywood Christianity.
Yeah.
That now suddenly, you know what? We've always been Kanye fans. There are a couple people I can see. Like, you know what? Like Rich Wilkerson, I can see. Like, he obviously had a relationship with them when he married them.
Yeah.
I could understand that, whatever. But now to just jump on, they jumped on the Justin Bieber bandwagon. They're jumping on the Kanye bandwagon.
But Justin Bieber's justified, bro.
Here's the thing, I understand, but you must remember, for me, I'm not saying that, listen, if you change your way we start hanging out together, I'm not going to take credit from, do you know how bad this guy used to be, and now that he's with me, he's the everything. I'll just promote where you are right now.
Yeah.
But all I've been hearing on social media is, listen, man, yes, we have always been praying for Kanye.
Listen,
even if you were, like, I feel like, let that good deed be in silence. If you were not there actively with him, bringing it through whatever, then let that good deed be in silence.
That's why I think the one person who deserves that praise is Kirk Franklin. Because when Yeezus came out and people were bad-mouthing him, he's like, no, I got to talk to my brother.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've been praying for him.
Yeah.
He's the one who's been...
Yeah.
And like now when Kanye West is saying I'm a Christian, he's silent.
Yeah.
Like, for me, the one person who deserves that, I think, is Kirk Franklin.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah. I always think we make too big of a deal whether these guys are Christian, whether they're not Christian, whether they... I feel like we make it too big of a deal. I don't... Like, why don't we make it as big of a deal? There's a mega church just up the road from where we are. Thousands of people a month get saved every week. We can celebrate. I understand the
impact.
And
they're going to be executives.
You know,
they're going to be
exactly. I understand the thing. The thing for me is I was just like I'm so tired. I'm like, listen, the first thing I feel like, if this was a media stunt, then I give Kris Jenner like all the props. You know why? Because there's no better people to turn on their own people like this Christian circle.
Yeah.
Give them a gospel album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even like Uncle Snoop, like if that gospel phase of his was real, like, I mean, all of us would be smoking weed praising Jesus right now, talking about our Snoopy's the, like, Snoopy's the savior, you know what I mean?
Praising the Most High.
Praising the Most High, whatever. Kanye, like, since you listen to this podcast every week, good move by getting the Christians on point, because the same people who voted Donald Trump, my brother, will vote you into office as well, because that's how stupid they are.
I don't know, man. You see, for me, like, I agree with you. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
Really?
I'm not buying the whole Kanye West as a... I really am.
I know you don't like this. I don't like...
And I'm a Kanye fan.
I know you don't like my reasoning.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen on Keeping Up...
Yeah.
I am telling you, this is not a stunt.
Yeah. So that is why I'm saying
that
I am praying that it's true.
Yeah.
Because, like, how bad would it be if, like, it is actually a genuine thing, and I'm just like,
you know why? You know, like, I feel like, you see, like, with Snoop, even if he did have a baptism of sorts, right?
Yeah.
And then he released the album, we didn't know about those baptisms or whatever. The thing about Kanye, you can see him coming from Yeezus to these churches, to these service Sunday, because we used to call them Sunday service.
Yeah.
To these Sunday services that he was having. And the entire world not being sure, what is this thing? Mm. And even him being like, listen, we just want to get together. We just want to be spiritual. There's no name on it. Until where he is right now, and he's like, Jesus is king. You get what I mean?
Okay.
So that's the reason why I'm saying, I'm like, you know what? I can't just come out and say that this guy is not. Because you know my stance as well. I do not like evaluating any celebrity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Obviously, the Bible says we'll know them by their fruits, and we can quote so many scriptures, whatever. But I genuinely believe there are people in Hollywood that we are going to see in heaven one day who we have said is the spawn of Satan. We'll never see. We're going to see some people.
No, I'm kidding.
So you admit he's not going to be in heaven?
Yeah, I mean,
God.
God's going to build a wall. Anyway.
Yeah, but listen, man. Listen, it's a good album. It's good. Listen, for years, the thing for me, right? Why would I want to stop? That's why, like, when I'm talking about more celebrities getting married, why would I want to let my opinion and hang-ups stop more good? Even if it's just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen, Kanye releases this album, right? It does not mean that the man is becoming a pastor. It does not mean the man's becoming a monk. It does not mean the man's quitting hip-hop.
Yeah,
that aspect, I mean, it does not mean any of those things. What it does mean is that Kanye has given the world something positive.
Yeah.
I believe that there are going to be young, especially young black men who are going to listen to that album and start rethinking some things in their lives.
Exactly.
People that no sermon would have reached. Yes. The man can do that. And even if it just reaches one life, why are those of us who have been in the game complaining about that?
It's a whole prodigal son thing.
You know?
Where we are the older brothers and we're angry at God.
I'm just like, my message is, please don't, you know, like how you never supported someone, they get onto Idol, and now they like win the show, and suddenly you're like, you know, like that other friend of ours, if he ever does win Idol, and suddenly I jump on and you have to play me this podcast.
No, no.
Remember when you weren't supporting it? Like, just don't jump on the bandwagon because he's here now.
I agree. You know what I mean? For me, okay, well, other band member, whatever, friend. For me, like, he's like a Wyclef. Wyclef would never win Idols, bro. That guy sounds like a walrus, bro.
Friend, you know, like with these production, maybe just like easing onto a lighter note. Like, you know what these reality shows?
Yeah.
Like, the one thing that I've seen is, like, do not underestimate the power of a director and producer trying to tell a story.
Mm.
You know, like, there's this kid who won, I don't know if he's a kid, he looks like a grown man, but who won American Idol, I think, last year. His Instagram handle is Scary Pool Party.
Mm.
But if you look at this guy, you can see, even before he didn't win, Lane Hardy won, but before, you could see that the producers, directors, they were pushing the agenda of this person.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Telling their story in a way that people buy it. Like, so don't ever underestimate. They could even take you and put you on Idol and be like, we just believe him.
Oh my God, that would be like,
trust me,
sure, they would hate South Africa. So South Africa hear me sing. No, dude. They massacres. They psychopaths.
Come on. I feel like with autotune, we can do anything we want to do. You don't believe that?
No level of autotune can fix this voice. My girlfriend, every time I sing, my girlfriend's just like, yo, KG.
By the way, did you like the promo I did with Kylie Jenner's Good Morning?
Dude, I'm never on social media, dude.
Okay. It's fine. Late night shows?
What about?
I don't know, that was your input. So you don't pay attention to social media, you don't pay attention to the production notes.
Then they're dying.
I think like they're dying is a pretty strong assessment. Here's the thing, I feel like the late night thing is kind of like radio. That if they don't find, you know, like how we were like radios done until they started doing, like, now if you listen to radio in the morning, it's not just one person or two, it's a team of people.
Yeah.
and there's dynamic to it and it's new.
It feels like a podcast.
Yeah, it feels like a... So the thing with those shows, Fallon, Kimmel, I think that Kimmel and Fallon, maybe for the next 5 years, are going to kind of be those OGs of late night. And if anyone from our generation is going to kind of come in,
yeah.
The hook with Lily Singh now is that Lily Singh is an Indian female lesbian. There's a hook to it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that her gender or ethnicity is a hook, but I'm saying, like, obviously, like, who's not going to be interested in that?
I'm not.
Like for example, like now on Idols, when was the last time a white female won our Idol? Now look at, like, everyone is into that thing and, like, there's a what on our Idol?
Mm.
You get what I mean?
Mm.
Same thing with her. I think that I love the format of late night American shows. We do not have one like that in South Africa,
yeah,
where there's a good talk show host. Mm. We have guests coming on. There's live music, whatever. I just don't think there's budget for something like that.
Yeah.
But listen, man, I'm still Fallon and Kimmel. I'm still a big. I mean, my OG here is not Fallon. On. No, even before Fallon was David Letterman.
I think he was amazing.
Like,
I think he was amazing.
I still watch his Netflix special. I mean, like, I thought Oprah Winfrey had the
talk show,
the ability to have a conversation with someone.
Mm-hmm.
But that man is something else. You know, he also just reminds me that I don't think you'll ever be too old to do something.
Yeah,
yeah. I think the man's like 100.
but for me, like, I the reason why I say it's dying is because it's not needed anymore, in the sense that. I don't know. Okay, number one, I don't know when the last time I watched a Jimmy Fallon video on YouTube. The last time was probably in varsity, which is like 2 years.
You know who does have it still? You know who's still fresh?
Kimmel.
Ellen DeGeneres. Yes.
But it's not a late. She's not late night though.
Exactly. She's daytime. She's daytime.
But,
still. Yeah, yeah.
Ellen is amazing.
I understand why Ellen is daytime because of her content, but I feel like the reason Ellen is still fresh is because I feel like the good vibe.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Ellen is amazing.
She's amazing.
But also the thing is, when I watch Ellen, I'm watching it to watch Ellen. I'm not watching it to watch the guests that are coming onto her show.
Yes.
For instance, with Kimmel, I want to see who he's playing, what game is he playing with
someone.
Alone is nothing.
Listen, unless the times that I watch Fallon now is, he does a lot of out videos,
yeah,
like they go out and they do stuff, whatever, with celebrities, or he's playing a game, then I watch. But like, they sit down with, unless it's someone I really, really,
really
like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Me
like,
either.
Now, like, celebrities, especially because of platforms like Instagram, I feel like I'm so close to those celebrities anyway.
Yeah.
The only person who you'd really catch my attention to watch now is if they were to interview Beyonce.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Get someone, you see, the reason why I also say they're irrelevant is that there are a lot of YouTube people. I mean, Marcus Brownlee. He's a tech reviewer.
Yeah.
But Will Smith would rather go to him to promote his stuff than go to anyone else.
Yeah.
Or Liza Koshy. Liza, she's... Many people are gravitating to those people. Why? Because you go to a late night show, how many people watch? Like 100K people in a night? You go to Marcus Brownlee, about 10 million in one day. So that's why for me, I feel like... And it's... I don't know.
I won't say the platform won't replace, but the show content won't replace, is that what Fallon and them have is studio equipment, people. You know what I mean? There's a difference between, listen, you and I could probably have more followers than Fallon's hits on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the difference between that is that Fallon production, the reason he still has a following is that nobody is going to be able to do it the way Fallon does it.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you must remember, when you're watching Fallon, if you're watching your favorite YouTube star, you're watching them for the star. When you're watching Fallon, you're watching it for their band, The Roots.
Yeah.
You're watching it for the guests who come on. You're watching it for the skits. You're watching it for a whole lot of different reasons, not just someone sitting in front of.
But also, maybe it's just me, but like, I don't like the whole structure thing. Like, it's like, you find a formula that works and you stick with it until it doesn't work, and then you tweak the formula and you run with, like, if you PewDiePie, for instance, that guy, every single day he has a new video. Every single day the video is not remotely the same as yesterday.
Yeah.
Which
I
is
can't.
what which is what makes it fresh. And like, yeah. I mean, you can, you know, PewDiePie has 2 times the amount of people subscribed to him than there are people in South Africa.
Of course.
And like, and maybe like he gets like 30 million or 20 million yeah. views on a like an average day.
Yeah, I'll tell you that I love Fallon and Kimmel because I love them. You know, like
yeah.
their person, like their
yeah.
person who they are, whatever. But for me also, I feel like the show that, unless the writing goes really to the gutter, SNL is not going to go anywhere, anytime.
Mm.
And that's because that show, it's just a shell.
Yeah.
And the person who's hosting SNL almost dictates everything that's going to happen
yeah.
in the show. You know what I mean? And from that, I mean, the content that's pulled from a show
yeah.
like SNL, that's why I feel like there's kind of no winning solution there. But yeah, I get it. Let's not hope in like 10 or 15 years from now, there are 2 kids sitting with some mm. other digital platform talking about why you and I are irrelevant and why no one's listening to our show anymore.
Hey, man. I mean, clearly they don't see our analytics, but I mean...
I know, right?
I mean, Demi Lovato, listen.
I mean, come on, I mean, you know. Yeah, man. Anyway, that's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The weather outside is unforgiving.
Hey, amen.
It is mosquito season.
Well, not the way I'm staying.
Yeah, well, I feel like, first of all, you stay like 7 floors up.
I don't think mosquitoes fly that
high. I also don't think so. Like, at our place, there's so many trees and many things happening. But I don't, like, I've kind of made peace with them, hey. I'm just like, I'm not gonna let you bother me.
Oh, Alfred, you're here. Just take another one.
Oh my God, hell no. You know, it's the worst mosquito bites. The mosquitoes that have these black and white stripes, and when they bite you, it like just swells up like...
Shucks.
Yeah. It's rough.
I'm not a mosquito.
But obviously, like, the privilege that you have...
Well,
keeps you out of the ghetto.
In Polokwane, bro, like, yo, the mosquitoes at our place, because
we live
next to a dam, bro.
Dude, you remember, I feel like the mosquitoes at my old place used to be the size of birds.
Yo, you were bad.
Like, I feel like the mosquitoes just, like, they just transformed into, like, metamorphosized.
If you didn't believe in evolution.
I know, like, those mosquitoes are, like, they were not biting, they're, like, picking you up by the neck and taking you to go feed their young.
Do you find it strange that only female mosquitoes are the ones?
Okay, guys, thank you so much for spending the last hour and a half with us. We are so thankful for your subscribes and your ratings on iTunes. Thank you for sticking through all the way till the end of the podcast. Huge shout out to our sponsor, The TaylorMade Designs. You can find them on Instagram. If you use the promo code whatever, you'll get 30% off if you're first time customer, second time customer, 5% off. On that, you can find them on Instagram. Alternatively, you can drop them an email with what you require, graphic design, branding needs, t-shirt design, maybe you need a website done, maybe you're about to release a book or a CD, or maybe you need artwork for your music, maybe starting a podcast, you need them to help you with that, you can contact them, hello@taylormadedesigns.co.za. And this is where you can find us.
You find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, @FadioBaker, @KGTheOne.
That's where you can find us. And promise to our show, remember to like and comment, guys. If there's anything you'd like us to talk about, you can slide into our DMs for that reason. And that reason.
Out of the reason they want us to talk about why you've been like mising your DMs.
Okay. Until next week, it is whatever.